and handle the truth.
Back top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, November 20th, 2017. A couple of other points, then we'll dive back into this Hillary nonsense again to put it in context. Hopefully we can get our arms around this and people will go, wow, you know, I never really thought about it like that. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. A couple of other quick observations. When Ann Coulter and Linda Sarsour are both using the term woke, a term I absolutely despise for a variety of reasons, it tells you all you need to know, I think. What do I mean? I mean precisely Marx plus Alinsky equals cybernetically controlled balkanization. And woke is a recent urban slang that can be used very effectively in cybernetic social media land as a general public barometer, a mimetic warfare term, a mimetic term of art. You dig? The Bob Menendez press conference last Thursday, I think it was, Vindication, I think. You know, it's interesting. Everybody's... I actually kind of believe what he's saying. I feel like he's not just a complete psychopath. And there's a Jimmy Stewart movie. I can't remember which one it is. A clip that maybe someday we'll play. Anyway, speaking of press conferences, last Thursday I mentioned Leanne Tweeden's accusal of Al Franken. I did so in the context of the USO trips and the infiltration and subversion being the greater issue. Not that I don't care about National Enquirer politics, but the infiltration and subversion, obviously, I do care about, arguably as attested to by both the backwards flag on her flak vest and as well as Franken's indiscreet behavior, alleged, so-called. In other words, put simply, what else would you expect from an avowedly evil and subversive system? The bigger issue is the system that not only advertises, celebrates, and condones psychopaths, but enthusiastically creates them writ large. This is the problem. Is it me, or is this a problem like I was getting to in the first segment? Two quotes come to mind. Friedrich Bastiat, Economic Sophisms. Remember when plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men in a society, over the course of time, they create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. I don't care if Steve Mnuchin and his wife want to act like Boris and Natasha, you know, holding up FRNs. The bigger issue is the FRNs are being printed. Is it me, or does that not – how can people not be outraged? Again, I digress. So isn't the bigger issue the system? And by that, perhaps Leanne Tweeden should be less concerned with her own skin and more concerned with the broader implications of a rogue political regime that has conscripted her husband Chris to its evil cause. A system and cause which demonstrates its true nature in any number of examples that leak and are erroneously presumed anomalous. Examples like Al Franken and their 2006 USO trip, or the recent tragedy of Staff Sergeant Logan Melger, which, as I said last week, ties directly back to Matthew Cole's 2 years worth of undercover investigative journalism, resulting in his January 2017 article, The Crimes of SEAL Team 6. Shouldn't she be more concerned with those things? I don't know. But I digress. So I want to get back to this list. Think about these things and then the punchline of it. The disgraced Clinton presidency was celebrated over the weekend. It's given me a headache just to say it. It really is. So, as I said in the first hour, do you recall all the scandals? I touched on a little bit of the most recent shenanigans, the stuff in the last decade or so. Just a snippet. And as I said in the last hour, it was at one point the Clinton administration literally nonstop scandals. Do you remember from top to bottom? I mean, there was a point where we were just kind of going, okay, oh my goodness, seriously, can we just not do this for a day? Just to name a few, here is a mostly alphabetical list of the top 40 or so. You ready? 1995 CIA disinformation controversy. 96 United States campaign finance controversy. I think that should just be a running entry. Al-Shifa pharmaceutical factory, Bill Clinton haircut controversy, Bill Clinton judicial appointment controversies, Almond Glenn Braswell, Juanita Broderick, Campbell versus Clinton, Hillary Clinton cattle futures controversy. By the way, read Newt Gingrich's November 8 Fox News article on that, in which he quotes a study by economists from Auburn and the University of North Florida, which concluded the odds for Hillary's level of success during Cattlegate, as I would call it, were, quote, at best 1 in 31 trillion. But that's not criminal. Don't worry about it. The Barrett Report, Henry Cisneros payments controversy, the Clinton Chronicles, Clinton crazies, Clinton health care plan of 1993, Bill Clinton pardon controversy, Clinton versus Jones. And remember, these are not policy issues. These are scandals. Clinton versus Jones, Commerce Department trade mission controversy, Defense of Marriage Act, don't ask, don't tell, Gala Hollywood farewell salute to President Clinton, Pincus Green, Hollywood fundraiser controversy, impeachment of Bill Clinton. Hey, Hillary, remember? I know you at your alma mater, you forgot, but it was actually your husband who was impeached. Not Nixon, not Trump, your husband. The guy, the toothless guy now, apparently. Not so charming and charismatic anymore, is he? Bombing of Iraq. Legitimacy of the NATO bombing of Yugoslavia. Lewinsky scandal, of course. We'll come back to that in a minute. Lincoln bedroom for contributors controversy. Remember, it's always quid pro quo with the Clintons. Always. It's always pay to play. Always. It's what they do. Nannygate. Operation Infinite Reach. Paul versus Clinton. Political scandals during the Clinton administration. Star Report. Tarmac Gate. But then they only talked about grandkids, right? Timeline of the Cox Report controversy, the Waco siege, Wampum Gate, White House FBI files controversy, White House travel office controversy, Whitewater controversy, you know, stealing money from old people is, you know, I like, again, I've mentioned before, but I like the way that Rush Limbaugh puts Whitewater. And that's just about as concise as he puts it. Stealing money from old people, selling old people housing that they can't afford, and then kicking them out when they can't make the payments, only to rinse and repeat. That was Whitewater. That was the Clintons. And most recently, of course, Benghazi, which resulted in the death of four Americans. But what difference at this point does it make anyway? There was Benghazi, and then, of course, you know, I kind of touched on it a little bit in the first hour, but let's not forget Arkansas. That was a list of about 40. Let's not forget Arkansas. In Arkansas, do we include the DNC rigging and email gate? Really? See, people don't think about the DNC rigging and email gate in that context, do they? But we should, shouldn't we? Should we include DNC rigging and email gate in the Arkansas list? The DNC rigging and email gate, which likely resulted in the political assassinations of Seth Rich, Sean Lucas, Joe Montano, Barrington Wisenant Jr., John Ash, Victor Thorne, and Ron Brown. Aaron and Melissa Dykes at TrueStream Media did a great video on five of the last seven that I mentioned last August. And it was titled Clinton Body Count Plus Five in Just 6 Weeks. Great video. If you get a chance, watch it. And remember, we talked about this last week in light of the Moscow rules, three or more is enemy action, right? And speaking of Arkansas and coincidences, do we add the tragic, unexpected death of Houston trial lawyer and top Democratic Party mega donor, Steve Mostyn, who allegedly committed suicide last Wednesday at the ripe old age of 46 after quoting the Houston Chronicle, a sudden onset and battle with a mental health issue. That's like a short guy hanging himself, a tall guy hanging himself in a short closet somewhere over in Malaysia, right? But again, I digress. Quoting the Houston Chronicle last week, the Mostyns were co-founders of the Ready for Hillary PAC, Political Action Committee, a political action committee supporting Clinton's unsuccessful campaign for president. Fast forward, quote, since 2000, Mostyn and his wife Amber had donated more than $24 million to political causes, according to campaign finance records. So do we include Steve Mostyn in the list, the Arkansas list? As you know, this is by no means a complete list. And of course, since then, it's still been nothing but scandal, you know, from end to end. And that more and more overt and obvious. I mean, they're not even bashful about it now, and less secretive and hidden. As if to say, yeah, we do whatever we want, and we take whatever we want when we want, and have whomever we don't like rubbed out whenever we want. So what? What are you going to do about it? You know, why stop there? Consider the Clinton Global Initiative. Clearly a pay-to-play scheme, if only judging by the fact that immediately after the election, and illicit donors realizing their millions in laundered funds wouldn't be able to buy the Clinton White House again, the CGI was quietly shut down immediately after the 2016 election. Remember that? Fox News announced that, and I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who didn't know? That was, you know, of course. Sorry, can't buy the White House, but, you know, we're keeping your money anyway. And then there's this latest quagmire of Uranium One. I don't like the usual talking points, but, you know, which included the aforementioned $145 million in Clinton Foundation donation laundering via Canada, or the Fusion GPS opposition research dossier the Hillary Rodham Clinton campaign funded by laundering funds through attorneys and overtly criminal illegality, by the way. If you did that, you'd be in prison right now. If you did any of these things, if I did any of these things, I would be in prison. Just one of them. But these are all things that these people have done. And she still gets airtime. She's not in orange jammies somehow. How do these people manage to not wind up behind bars or swinging from the gallows? I would strongly argue that Saddam Hussein's offenses were no worse than Bill and Hillary Clinton, and I'm not exaggerating. I would argue strongly that Charles Manson's offenses were less. I just mentioned recently more people that have died mysteriously and suspiciously than Charles Manson could be held responsible for. Where does it end? You know, it's cliche. Aesop said, we hang the petty thieves and appoint the great ones to public office. But now getting back to reality, I want to take one brief snippet and compare. But before we do that, let's go to the phones. I want to just take a break there for a second, and we'll come back to that. Let's go to the phones and grab Pat in Fort Worth. Pat, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, I appreciate your going through all those instances of traitorism. But they are all in books. There are books out there in those. And they're not real high right now. But you forgot to mention Big Sister is watching you.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that's, and there's another one that says, what it will be like when Hillary's president.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Sister is watching you. They pointed out that she is the one who picked the whole cabinet. She was the running.
Exactly.
And there was one who wasn't a lesbian. And I said, maybe she let him pick one. I don't know. But it's incredible. And so that's the big thing. Everything, she is not particularly hiding what she's about right now.
Exactly.
She thinks she's totally for the UN and the UN and the rights of the child and the the rights of the child, or they should be allowed to have sex with anybody they want to.
That's how they operate. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what they believe. And another thing that people don't realize is what's motivating her. For one thing, she talks to FDR's wife. Remember him? He was a roamer, too. But how do we know his wife wasn't a lesbian? I'm not taking up for Bill Clinton in no way, shape, or form. I'm glad he was, because he took himself down. And she would, try to take up for him. But now she is a victim. See, she's a victim. People will not talk about anything that has to do with LGBTQ because everybody's afraid. They're afraid of her.
Yeah.
And these people are starting to run the country, and they'll come after you.
Yeah. Well, she, I honestly, when I listen to her speak, I mean, I think it seems like in the last week or so, she looks a little nervous, but generally speaking, she just seems irritated that she has to come and do this little dog and pony show, because I think she's just a megalomaniac who enjoys the because, lust for power.
Because
truly, I think she's FDR's irritated about the talking
by a lot of people. But FDR's wife has been telling her that she is going to be great someday, and that's what she's doing, listening to the devil. Of course, she worships him. Really, come on. She can deny all that, but we need to pray every day that more leaks come out, okay? And then let everybody judge the leaks for themselves.
Do we really need more, though? I mean, I just went through a list of 40 offenses that any one of which would get you or I thrown in prison for a long time. And I'm going to get to a reality check here in a minute, just to put it all in perspective.
Voting several times if you have to, whatever. So people need to put a little legs to our walk and get out there and help their party take the people off the rolls who are dead. You know how Texas is famous for dead people voting.
Right.
And they need help. But people just want to talk. And I'm glad you're talking, don't get me wrong, because that's where the leaks come out, see? The more people, well, I always said, if the Jews had stuck together instead of each one thinking he wouldn't be caught or, whatever, I don't think Hitler could have took them.
So well, now you remind me of, Martin Niemöller and Dietrich Bonhoeffer and folks like that, so.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the White Rose Society and so forth.
Well, I don't know about the White Rose Society. I mean, I know you must be old enough to remember some of this stuff, because you can't believe everything you read. But when you're old enough, you can compare and the leaks come out. And not that you can believe the leaks right now, but you have to forgive people that change. If Hillary got saved today, and she'd go to heaven. You know what?
Sure.
God would forgive everything she's done.
I agree. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Welcome back. You know, the way Bill Cooper put it, listen to everyone, read everything, believe nothing unless you can prove it in your own research. And Wikipedia says Milton William Bill Cooper was an American conspiracy theorist, best known for his 1991 book, Behold a Pale Horse. And that's no way to memorialize a man who predicted 9/11 in very specific detail. And he was no performance artist, but he warned us back on June 28, 2001. And that was not the least of his warnings, to be sure. We're on the phones. We have Pat in Fort Worth on the line. Pat, you raised some good points.
Yeah, well, I know Bill Cooper. I used to listen to him on the radio. And, you know, you really need to know the Bible. I know you know it, Chris. I know you know it better than I do. and I don't know it. Just if you could just try to do the basic things, or you can read it somewhere, write it down or something. It'll stay with you when you need it, but I don't remember scripture.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. But anyway, Bill Cooper, you know what I think Bill Cooper did wrong? I mean, you can't serve the Lord and serve the devil at sometimes. You can't do it. And you know, now you can say that wasn't true, that the police, the planes closed, parked in his driveway and made a lot of noise, and he went out with a gun, and I think he was drinking, and they shot him dead in his own driveway. But you know what he had been doing wrong other than that? He had just been, I mean, for eons, he was reading Greek mythology. Do I need to know that? Do I need to know that? A little bit, maybe, you know, but not the details, just hold it on and on. I thought, why is he wasting valuable short wave radio time doing that? Yeah. And I never did know. He didn't explain it, you know?
Yeah.
So you, people can, well, you know the Bible well enough, too, that you can't just slack up sometimes. If you, God said he didn't want the name of other God spoken out of our lips, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he? I can see, I don't remember the scripture, but we just, all of us are pushing God. I mean, in ways, we are. And we'll get our judgment here. But I would, a lot of our judgment here, believe me, you'd rather have it here now, I think. But how do we know there's not judgment in heaven? No? Mm-hmm. I'd rather get it over with now so I can figure out what I've done wrong. So at least if you only believe you get a reward in heaven, at least you'll get a reward. If you quit, whatever it is, it offends God. And he's getting very serious these days. And I don't, if we go to war, we cannot blame anybody but us.
Yeah.
Really. Because we lost a whole generation because we didn't bring them up and nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we didn't train them up the way they should go. And that's what we got. We gave them a computer and said, don't bother me. I'm going to the bingo, or I'm going to go play something. Yeah, I'm going to play tennis or something. And you know that's true. I mean, I think
absolutely.
You know that's true.
Yeah.
Everything's not written in a book. All of us probably could write a book if we're old enough to remember, you know.
Yeah.
But I know it works. I know it works. I had two boys. And I said, man, I wish I'd homeschooled you. He said, Mom, you did. You did.
Good for him.
Well, I'd fight everything they were doing bad in school. I would, you know, I'd approach the teachers. Oh, we can't. I'm a Sunday school teacher, but we can't ever have a Christian book in the room. I said, what? You can get by with anything you want to as long as you don't get reported. And nowadays, there's so many people out there working for the devil so full-time, too, that they probably would do something like that. But we got lawyers. We got Dave Stekelo. We got lawyers, and there's more of them that don't even have a name that defends you when you stand up for what's right.
Yeah.
And we need more. We need
absolutely
more of them.
Yep, yeah. I agree.
And
we start walking in boldness.
I defended myself one time in the Queen's Court, kangaroo, whatever. Appointed judge. We should not have any appointed judges, even locally or, you know, and we shouldn't have them. We should be able to vote. When you vote on somebody, and if you say, well, I think I don't want to be an American citizen because of this legality of that thing, you still have the right to trial by jury, and you do have the right to defend yourself. And God will show you how to do it. He'll show you how to do it. If you trust the Lord and lean not to your own understanding, set all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.
Yeah.
That might get you through tribulation. And also, too, people don't believe that you don't have to put up with a lot of things. You can just speak out against that thing and it'll stop. Even if you believe it. All right, I'll let you go.
All right. Thanks, Pat. I appreciate your call. Great points. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
When you were here before, couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here.
Welcome back.
I don't care if it hurts.
I want to get back to the reality check on the Hillary Clinton nonsense. But first, let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Paul in New Jersey. Paul, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul.
Chris, are you familiar with Livia, who was the mother of Tiberius?
Familiar, yes.
Well, let me just explain one thing. What Livia did was she would behind the scenes poison opponents and other political people to basically get her son Tiberius to become emperor, and she was successful doing that. Mm-hmm. Tiberius ruled Rome well, and Rome prospered during Tiberius's time, and there were really very few wars. And so I've had this conversation with my brother sitting around how, you know, when you judge the Clinton administration, right, we should remember, okay, he might have bumped off some of the opposition. Of course he deserves a gallows. I don't deny that. But nonetheless, in comparison to the Bush family, the Clintons ran the United States in a way more competent manner than the Bushes. And that's obvious. You know, they didn't run up the debt. There was no 9/11 under the Clinton watch. Any military incursions were small, like in Kosovo. They were not entangled. When he would just bomb occasionally the Iraqi, I think, missile defense sites because, you know, we had to have a flyover rights. But he didn't destroy Iraq. He didn't destroy Panama, or, you know, like Bush's father trying to send the American military to hound Noriega out of power over some CIA drug-related backstabbing. Also, and think of debt, too. Clinton ran up the debt, I think, about $1.5 trillion altogether over an eight-year period of time, which, in comparison to George Bush Jr. ran up the debt, I think it comes to $5.6 trillion. Okay? And I think with George Bush Sr. in those 4 years, I think he ran it up about a trillion. So he still used up American taxpayers' money or got them more indebted than Clinton did in his eight-year time. So I just want to balance out the view of the Clintons. That's what I just called about and how, you know, the Republicans have way more blood on their hands. They got plenty of debt on their hands. And what the Clintons have done, polls in comparison, I mean, is nothing in comparison to 9/11 under Bush Jr.
Do you think that the Bush cabinet had any control over that, though?
What, 9/11?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they knew about it, they orchestrated it, they did it. Sure.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, do you think that so you're saying that the top level of that conspiracy was the Oval Office?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely,
I disagree.
George Bush. And especially Dick Cheney. They both
well, then how do you explain the pre-planning, the predictive programming in, you know, all of the drills going back to, you know, the predictions? I mean, there were folks that predicted it back to 1994, to my knowledge. So how do you explain that?
And
the Trade Center, you know, incident, all of the precursors to it.
Yeah, well, that was the Mossad knowledge, because the Mossad were the major people behind it. And even, by the way, Al Franken in his book says that he got what was called the Jew call from Ed Koch, about that Ed Koch had warned him before 9/11 not to come to New York on the 23rd of Elul, which is September 11th in Jewish chronology.
Right.
So, but not to divert from the topic, but I think it was mostly a Mossad job, because, I mean, the people who rigged the towers to collapse and those teams, I think they were flown in from Tel Aviv, and they were Mossad agents and they were outsiders and foreigners. And, I mean, you needed the Jewish gatekeepers and the Zionists like Zelikoff and Cheridov in high positions in the administration to keep any questioners in line and to keep the narrative good and to, you know, get rid of people like whoever stood in the way of their enterprise. But George Bush Sr., or I mean Jr., ultimately wrote off and approved it. And Dick Cheney, of course, was right there licking his chops and overseeing it in the basement on 9/11, as Mr. Who's the fellow, Panetta said.
Well,
remember.
I understand your point. I would respectfully disagree. I think who's in the Oval Office is incidental to the plot. And that was kind of my point about all of the foreshadowing, shall we say.
Well, they say that the 9/11 was floated to Clinton for not to happen under Clinton, but Clinton said no way, not under my watch. I've heard that, but you know, it's sure. All rumor stuff and innuendo.
Just Waco and Ruby Ridge and other fun things like that, and then foreign policy debacles. Right. They had their own.
Right, I agree. You know, but it's add up the death toll. Add up the death tolls, and then add up the death.
Isn't one too many though?
You're that one, it absolutely
Waco
is.
And Ruby Ridge forever altered our domestic policy. Those are pretty significant events.
I understand, but a death toll-wise, when you add it up, you can't compare with what George Bush Jr. did in Iraq. You can't
well,
compare.
I don't agree with that standard of measure. I think
I
one
do.
Is too
I
many.
Think a million deaths is of Iraqis is a lot worse than a few hundred deaths of Americans. I do. I measure it just by how many people altogether. And as I said in the beginning, a vindication of Livia's form of, if you're going to have a treacherous government, at least do it on the cheap and not cause bloodbaths overseas. You know, I think that's a more noble form of government, actually, than what the Bushes have given the United States. And
I think it's two faces of the same despicable, despotic regime. It's no different, you know. I mean, you and I both know those people don't really get elected; they get appointed, they get tapped. And so, I will respectfully disagree. I understand your point, but you know, the paternal great grandmother of Caligula is, I don't think, a model that I would look to as far as, you know, how to lead a society successfully. So,
well, like I said, when you look at the Republican voting and Democratic voting, we have to be honest that if there were no Republican, if the majority under Bush Sr. was Democrat in the Senate and House, there wouldn't have been an Iraqi War One.
Again,
and
I don't
same
think
with
it
Iraqi
matters
War
who's in the
II.
White House.
That was a Republican
I'm just going to have to disagree with you, Paul. Respectfully, yep. I disagree. It doesn't matter because you go back and you look at the plan from the 70s coming forward. It's been an incremental plan. It doesn't matter. Who's in the White House is really fairly inconsequential, I would say, for all intents and purposes. There are folks around them, you know, that the peripheral characters, the Philip Drew administrators are sort of the, I think, more instrumental. Like you said about Cheney, you know, Bush was a useful idiot, I think. I don't think he was nearly as, I think, you know, there were other forces behind the scenes, obviously, Cheney being one, that were more instrumental in the virulent strain of evil that occupied the White House at that point. But you know, I part company on the whole, you know, fewer deaths is better than more deaths. I think any deaths is appalling and unacceptable. So I'm not Machiavellian, and I don't think that, you know, we should whack a few people just so that things run smoothly. I vehemently disagree with that.
Well, I'm doing this as a means, first of all, as an intellectual exercise at judging, in hindsight, past administrations, and also about the reality of a state that seems, or the nation, that has, under these Republican presidents, have, you know, run up the debt more than quite extent until Obama came along and doubled it again, just about. And
yeah, but again, those are specious talking points to me, and that was all part of the first hour. I don't think that's even a real discussion, because there should be no national debt. We are borrowing money to borrow. You know, people talking about borrowing from China is absurd. How about not borrowing from the Federal Reserve? Congress has the authority to coin money, and Congress alone.
Yeah.
Why aren't we having that discussion?
We can have that discussion, but not now.
I think that's the only discussion we should have when it comes to the national debt. That's it. Because any other discussion is a waste of time. You know, the founders, we have been warned so many times over history that if we get off on straw man discussions like that, then we're done. I mean, we're just debating the, you know, shades of the leaves on the tree.
But then again, that is the standard politics anyway, this two-party system. And I wanted to play devil's advocate because, listen, if I hear, you know, people going on and trashing Clinton, and that's fine, right? Remember, and, you know, you're basically in a more partisan network anyway, RBN. They're going to be more leaning towards Republicans.
I don't do that. That is a bifurcation fallacy. I'm going to get back to on point. I'm going to have to just respectfully disagree. Seriously. I'm not a Kool-Aid drinking bifurcation fallacy proponent. You know, I agree with John Adams when he wrote, "There is nothing which I dread so much as a division of the Republic into two great parties, each arranged under its leader and concerting measures in opposition to each other. This, in my humble apprehension, is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil under our Constitution." I think those are sage words. Washington had similar words in his farewell address, and he, you know, was much more eloquent and articulate, but he said, you know, if we get sucked into this two-party nonsense, then this is what they will use to divide us. And you can't turn on a mainstream broadcast without hearing this bickering, constant people getting sucked into identity politics, which is an oxymoron. It's ridiculous. It's like arguing about borrowing from China. Why aren't we talking about borrowing from the Federal Reserve? It's not federal. It's not reserve. The St. Louis Fed's website says it's not part of the federal government. Why are we borrowing from the Fed? Every FRN that's printed comes with debt. Why are we doing that? Isn't that a better conversation to have? The founders told us it ain't going to work if we do that. Appreciate your call, Paul, but I'm just going to have to respectfully disagree. Seriously. I don't think this is an issue to play devil's advocate on. I really don't. I don't think there is any, there's no nobility in, you know, for example, arguing a bifurcation fallacy. There's no merit in that. Wrong is wrong. And that is what's used to divide people. Balkanization is real. We're being divided. And that is obviously a precursor to conquer. So I'm not okay with that. Anyway, I appreciate your call, Paul. And like I said, I respectfully disagree. I really want to get back to the point here, but the contrast, reality. But before we do that, we'll go back to the phones and grab Fred in Iowa. Fred, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Chris.
Hi, Fred.
I don't want to go on talking about the different shades of the leaves on the trees, but if people can't at this time, more people, make a distinction between the parties, which there are little or no distinction. They are, as you said, appointed, not elected. They're either thick-headed or have an agenda. And that's all I have to say. Have a hell of a good day, my friend. Bye.
Thanks, Fred. I appreciate it. Let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Davey in Texas. Davey, thanks for calling. Welcome. You there, Davey? Do we have Davey? No. Let me, you know, I've mentioned Milford Ryerson Howard's book, The American Plutocracy, published in 1895, is one of my new favorite books. And he quoted Washington's farewell address, did it very well. He said, "The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension." Isn't that what we hear in the mainstream press? "Which in different ages and countries has perpetuated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. But this leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism." Uh-oh. "The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in absolute power of an individual, a Trump, and sooner or later the chief of some prevailing faction, more able and more fortunate than his competitors, turns this disposition to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of the public liberty." We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last...
The good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of today's broadcast. Speaking of Washington and his commenting on the spirit of party worship, just to conclude that thought, he said in his farewell address, it opens the door to foreign influence and corruption, which finds a facilitated access to the government itself through the channels of party passion. Thus, the policy and will of one country are subjected to the policy and will of another. At this point, it's the globalist initiative. And he further said, a fire not to be quenched. It demands uniform vigilance to prevent its bursting into flame, lest instead of warming, it should consume. And this was supposed to be a representative form of government, but we are being consumed by its, deformity. Can't think of the appropriate word. Anyway, back to the point that I was making. In contrast, while the Clinton crime syndicate has utterly bludgeoned the American psyche for over five decades, raping and pillaging the earth, there have been slivers, moments, snapshots along the way which offer provocative insight into the growing disparity that is American life. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It's the same nonsense. Consider the example of Monica Lewinsky. In the wake of what's commonly known as the Lewinsky scandal, while the Clintons continued raping and pillaging the earth, Monica Lewinsky languished in silence and relative obscurity. Look at the photos that circulate of a young, idealistic girl, infatuated, captivated even by one of the most charming, charismatic psychopaths the world has ever publicly acknowledged. And yet, it's not the psychopath the American public and the mainstream media in particular have vilified. Rather, it's the young, fairly unassuming girl. While the Clintons continued, while JFK Jr. died under questionable circumstances, a man who surely would have won his New York Senate seat bid, Hillary, a woman who openly bragged as a young lawyer about defending a man she knew to be a rapist, went on to occupy that Senate seat. While all this happened, Monica Lewinsky has remained the object, the punchline of the disgraced Clinton White House, not the psychopath that occupied the White House or her philandering psychopath husband. But this girl, whose life was hijacked by the ordeal, I'm not implying she was entirely without fault or blame. As adults, we all make our own choices. But that's not the issue here. In this case, I'm merely shining a bright light on the stark contrast in treatment by the mainstream media, and as a result, broader American society, of the victim versus the charming, charismatic psychopath. For a better, closer, more personal look at how Monica Lewinsky has fared in the wake of this scandal, may I encourage you simply to view her Wikipedia page entry, and particularly the section titled Public Reemergence. Public Reemergence. Think about that. Even the section title speaks to the resultant calamity that became her life. I'll probably just finish this thought tomorrow, but hopefully you understand what I'm saying. We need to get our heads screwed on straight in this society, and we certainly don't. We haven't for quite a while. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you care.